Hey everybody, can you guys hear me? Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. Thumbs up, everybody. Thank you. Hey Mickey. Y'all, sorry I'm a little bit tardy. I had some issues with Zoom. It would not let me in. It kept saying that somebody else was trying to start the meeting. Okay. Let me get settled here. Let's see. I am Coach Christy. So I'm going to open up all my windows so I can see the chat. My visuals are very choppy. Can't hear me now. Audrey says she can't hear me. Hey, it's Coach Christy. Jean, can you hear me okay? Debbie, can you, everybody else can hear me? Okay. Okay, I'm going to assume if you can't hear me or my video is choppy that it's something on y'all's end. So, yes. Hello, Tammy. Hello, everybody. Okay, I am going to pull up. I think we have Coach Ashley in the house tonight. She's in the chat. So if you guys have questions, you can ask her in the chat. You can also post your questions in the Q&A, and if we have time today, I will get to some of your Q&A questions. Okay. So as everybody's coming, it's okay, Audrey. Sorry, it was my error. No problem, no problem. It's gorgeous in San Diego. Well, Lori, you're just bragging. Actually, y'all, it's really gorgeous today in Texas too. So I'm happy about that. Okay, for those of you that don't know me, I am Coach Christy. I work one-on-one with private clients. And I also am in Facebook quite a bit. So you may have noticed that we've sort of upped our game in Facebook. We've been really trying to figure out new ways to meet y'all's needs and just kind of catch questions that you might have. And we know we have Ask Coaches, but a lot of you could just go to Facebook. And so we're trying to be everywhere all the time. So we are super accessible. yeah, Christy with a K. Oh, yeah, there's two Coach Christies now. There's Christy with a C and Christy with a K. We've been trying to come up with some way to differentiate us all, or the two of us. Okay, so if this is your first time seeing me, it's nice to see you. We have a good time on these calls. This is our maintenance call. This is an open coaching call. So it is for those of us that are in maintenance. So if you want to be coached tonight by me, please raise your hand and I will call you up and we will get through as many people as we can in about the next 55 minutes. While you guys are thinking about if you want to be coached or not, let me just put you at ease. It's super fun. It's just you and me having a conversation, talking about your deepest, darkest secrets. Just kidding. It's just fun. We'll have a good time. And I promise you that whatever you have to talk about, if you have the question or you're struggling with something, chances are somebody else in this group is too. So I'm going to thank you all ahead of time for being brave and raising your hand and sharing some of your struggles. I have been working for NoBS for a couple years. I was a frequent flyer on Weight Watchers. I lost 107 pounds on Weight Watchers. And the moment I got there, I started gaining. So as soon as I hit my goal weight, I bounced right back up. I was so glad to be done. I was ready to like get back to my normal life. And then I tried all kinds of stuff in between, counting calories, South Beach, Atkins, Jenny Craig, you named it. I've tried it. I came across NoBS after I had put on probably about 40 pounds, maybe 50 pounds, not quite back up to my starting weight, but pretty close. And I just didn't want to count calories anymore. And I found Corinne and I settled on a new goal weight and I lost about 80 pounds with no BS, a little over 80 pounds. And I'm sitting in maintenance and I love it. I love it. So, okay, we have Bess raising her hand to get coached tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and pull you up, Bess. And we will see what we're going to talk about. Come on up, Bess. I've got a couple things that I want to talk about tonight too. So if in the middle while you guys are considering, I'll share some stuff that I've been thinking about for those of us in maintenance. All right, Bess should be coming up. Oh, wait, did she put her hand down? Let's see. Oh, nope, there she is. Okay. Yes. I'm looking through the chats. Been loving the live Facebooks. Oh,
Yeah.
good, Lori, I'm glad. Hey, Bess,
Hey.
I'm going to ask you to start your video. Oh, there you are. Okay.
Hi, Christy.
Hey,
How
have
are
we chatted before?
you? We have.
We have.
Yes. And you were very
Yes.
helpful. And
Good. I'm so glad.
thank you for all you do. I have been in maintenance for about 2 months recently
Okay.
with the world situation and also a big death of a 40-year-old child of a friend of mine has occurred. And my past ways of coping was always with eating. And I find that even if I put things on my plan, that I would have craved when I was out in the real world, soothing myself with food, I wake up with this dread that I've put all my weight back on. I just feel like when I start to eat in a similar way, even though it's not the same way, because I'm so much more aware of not eating over thoughts and feelings, the one thing that I just can't normalize is the notion that I've kind of overnight put on all my weight and it becomes like a panic. And I just need help with that.
Okay. So recently you've changed up what you're eating, as I'm hearing you say. Is that true?
Not so much because I've always, chocolate was always my nemesis in the past, and I would eat it until I felt sick. I wouldn't eat just for the pleasure of it. And that was how I
Okay.
medicated when I was feeling funky emotionally. And now, with the situation in the Middle East and the death of this friend, I'm noticing that I want chocolate. So instead of making it forbidden, which is what I would have done in the past, I put it on my plan and I eat it when I'm hungry and until enough. But somehow the thoughts are what are bugging me, which is, well, now you're just going to wake up and be as fat as you were before you lost your 40 pounds, kind of thing.
Okay, why is that a problem for you to think that?
Because it makes me panic.
Okay, what do you do with the panic?
Well, I've been writing about it, and I've been kind of reassuring myself it's normal that I would want to soothe myself with food under the circumstances because that's been a habit for all these years. And what's going on in the world now is out of whack with normal stuff. And a close friend of mine losing her child. Not only am I sad for her, but there's the notion of I have children, I feel very vulnerable, and I over-identify with her about how it would feel to lose a child. So I do go down that kind of healthy path of saying to myself, this is normal that you would feel the need to want to soothe with food because that's what you've always done. What's not normal is the panic that comes in with thinking, oh, I've just put on all of my weight now.
Well, it is normal, right? Because if you're telling yourself it's normal that you want to soothe with food, so that tells me that your brain or somewhere in you has a desire or has a thought that you might want to soothe with food. And how is it totally normal that you would panic about that? What would be the consequences if you started soothing yourself with food again?
Well, if I did it in the way that I did it before, no BS, I'd put on the 40 pounds and more.
So it makes sense that you're panicking because you're thinking, I might want to soothe myself with food like I used to, right? And you've been in maintenance a couple of months, right?
Yeah.
So is this, are these the first couple of, I'm just going to call these big things just because I don't know really what else to call them. Are these sort of the highly emotional, maybe that's a better word. Are they, is this sort of the first time you've experienced something like this while you're in maintenance?
Yes.
Okay. So it makes sense because you haven't been through this yet, right?
Yeah.
So the panic is not a problem. You just think it's a problem because you don't have enough evidence yet of being able to talk yourself through it. Even though when I asked you, what do you do with the panic? You said, I journal about it. I reassure myself. How do you feel after you do those things?
There is a relief. I think what I'm realizing is I thought that I trusted myself around food. Through going through this process, I'd kind of learned how to nurture myself without food and trust myself around food. And I think that this notion that I want to even use food in some way to medicate mm-hmm. is undermining mm-hmm. the trust that I have in myself. Does that make sense?
Because you think that, yes, because you think that trusting yourself means you'll never have a desire to do it again.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was hoping. Yeah, yeah.
If anybody ever does that, let me know.
Well, I did right? the exact same thing as you with Weight Watchers, where I would get to my goal weight and it was invariably for an event. And that night I was back to eating the old way completely. So I'm learning as each day goes by that I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. But just the thought, that niggly thought, is bothersome.
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me, because in the past, when you have wanted to soothe with food, you just did, right? And you're creating evidence every day that you're not doing that. So tell me, how are you coping with your feelings about what's going on in the world, with your feelings over the loss of your friend's child? How are you taking care of yourself in those ways now?
So I've stopped really going on social media because that was disturbing in a big way. And the images, before you know it, the image is on your screen and you can't unsee what you've seen. And I'm trying not to talk about it with people around me, but I'm Jewish. So this is very much on everybody's, the rise in anti-Semitism, a whole bunch of things that are fear-based for us, not only as Jews of this generation, but going back multi-generations. So it's tapping into a lot of fear, which I'm trying to extricate myself from by not exposing myself to it. It doesn't take it away because I'm firmly very aware of what's going on. With regard to my girlfriend, I'm just reaching out to her and with love and just telling her that I'm there for her. And then, I listened to Kathy's call the other day about self-soothing and heart, your hands on your heart. I've been trying to do that as well. Write, journaling, working mm-hmm. out, meditating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I suppose I think what I'm starting to realize is that what I want to happen is for it all to be okay. And it's not okay. Mm-hmm. So I have to be comfortable in the discomfort of what is right now.
Yeah.
Without eating.
And what I want you, and what I want you to see, Bess, is that you are doing those things. So your brain, your habit brain, right, which runs 90 to 95% of our day for us, your habit brain is looking at what's going on internally, right? Like it's taking your internal temperature and it sees that you use the word fear. You have some fear in there. You have some sadness in there. And it's offering a solution that you have used for years, that it knows to be efficient, that it knows to be effective, and that it knows to be easy. So it's offering that up to you. But your conscious brain is choosing to process these feelings in a new way, which you just told me. Journaling, kind of insulating yourself a little bit from exposure to the things that are going on. I hope you're allowing your fear to have a place, right? And letting that be and sort of just allowing that and writing that out in your journal. Your sadness over your friends.
Yeah.
Right? So it's normal that your habit brain still offers the food as a choice. And I'm just going to be really honest with you, Bess, and everybody on this call, food is an option. It is. It's just one option. And it's not really, it doesn't sound like it's the option that you're choosing anymore.
Well, I put a pound on this week. And I think that contributes. Mm. I mean, in the realm of things, really, I'm still in my maintenance range. I said to myself, the fact that I am panicking about this pound is ridiculous. I don't want to become obsessive about these pounds. Mm. And having put on a pound in this week is to me an accomplishment more than anything. But that's my logical brain, not the brain that's yelling at me, the loud talk.
Yeah. Yeah. But the kudos here, Bess, is that you're having a conversation, right? There was a time, I bet, at least there was for me, you can tell me if it has been for you too, that the habit brain was the only conversation you were having. It was only panic and it was only react to the panic. At least now you're having a conscious conversation with it. You recognize the panic and then you're reminding yourself it's a pound. So let me just ask you, because it's normal for our habit brains to see the scale tick up and worry. That's 100% normal, right? But when you were losing weight, what was your strategy when the scale would go up? What did you do?
I just put my head down and did more of the same because I knew it worked.
Yeah. You examine your data. You see where maybe that pound came from. It could be you've been having some overeats. It could be the extra stress and emotions that you're dealing with right now, especially if that's jacking up your sleep. It could be some of that stuff. But you put your logical thinking brain on, you examine the pound, you see if it makes sense, you keep doing what you've been doing as far as your habits, you allow your emotions to be, give them a voice, and the pound will take care of itself.
Well, thank you, Christy. I appreciate that. And then I'm leaving to go away on Tuesday for 3 weeks. So that, you know, it's all of these things then come in. If I can't trust myself here, what am I going to do when I'm not in control of where my food's mm-hmm. coming from? You know, it's just that undermining and the brain saying, well, you're only here for a second. You've never done it before where you've stayed at your goal weight for longer than a second. So.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen when you go on vacation, right? I don't know. Maybe you will gain a few pounds. I don't know. But only you can decide what you're going to do each day.
Yeah.
You're not going to wake up with your weight on overnight. If you are diligent about tracking your habits and you are planning every day and you are still doing the habits that got you to goal weight, you will see that shit coming from a mile away. It's not going to sneak up on you. So I just want to go back to this idea of not trusting yourself. You still have this relationship with I still have the thought that I might want to cope with my emotions with food. And that means I don't trust myself. That's not true. That's a thought error. It is likely going to come up as an option for you for a long time. Where your trust is that you have other options that you are choosing right now instead of food. That's where you build your trust. I want you to see all the things that you've done this week. It was no problem for you to come up with the other ways that you were handling your emotions besides food. You were like, I'm journaling, I'm doing this. That's trust with yourself. You can trust that you can see that desire or the thought that you might, and then trust the evidence that you have so far of all the other tools you have in your box to use.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. I think I just needed to hear it from somebody, even though I'm having the conversation in my brain, maybe just having somebody outside of my own head have that conversation with me affirms what I'm trying to say to myself.
Yeah. Well, and I just looked at your evidence. Like this could have been a totally different coaching call, right? Like you could have said, okay, Christy, I've been like going back to using food to cope with my emotions right now. And then we would have talked about, okay, what other ways can you cope with your emotions? You're already doing that. That's amazing, right? Yeah. That tells me you're really, really good at hearing your thinking. You're just worried that you might still believe it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly true.
Yeah, and that's normal. But as long as you keep journaling and you can see it with your eyes, do that paper thinking, you'll see it. You'll be like, oh my gosh, look at me wanting to cope the way that I used to. And it makes sense that you're feeling that now because these events are sort of outside of your window of tolerance. You know, have you heard that term before? Like we all have this window of things that we feel like we're solid with our habits. And then things happen that are a little bit outside of that. And we're like, ooh, I'm not sure. I've never been through this. It's kind of like, you know, like the holidays are coming up. And for those of us that are getting ready to go through the holidays that have never been in maintenance, you might feel a little bit shaky because we've never experienced this before. But you're doing a really good job just reminding yourself, hey, you know what? Food is an option. It used to be the only option for me, but I've got a whole bunch of other ways now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your wisdom, Christy. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And where are you going on vacation? Tell us.
We're going to London for a wedding, and then we're taking a cruise down the Rhine River from Amsterdam to Basel, and then we're going to Berlin for a couple of days. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That sounds amazing. I'm so jealous.
Thank you.
And
then
was
we come home.
Yeah.
And my husband's having neck surgery. So there's a lot coming up that has food as a question mark around it. So I have to get through that all.
No, it doesn't have food as a question mark. It has trust and well-established habits.
Yeah.
That's what it has, right? That's what it has. You've got this. I was in Germany for my 50th birthday a couple of weeks ago, and we went on a little Rhine River cruise, and it is amazing, all the castles. Like, you're just going down the river and there's like a castle and a castle and a castle. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Amazing. They don't even have them roped off. Like, anybody can just walk up and see them.
Amazing. Well, happy birthday and welcome
awesome.
To the 50s.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing, Bess.
Thank you for your wisdom. Take care.
Okay. You're welcome, hon. Bye-bye. Okay. So it's so funny, y'all. The stuff that I had pulled up to talk about today, it just happens, right? It was exactly what sort of Bess was talking about. I was going to talk to you guys about the, in module 2, starting with lesson 8 of the maintenance course. And if y'all didn't know, there's a whole maintenance course on the website. So if you are listening to this call and you are in maintenance and you have not taken the maintenance course, please, please go to the website and apply to be in maintenance, and then you will get the maintenance course in your tabs. But there's a whole lesson in there called Avoid the Easing Up Trap. And there's three sort of forms of self-sabotagey things that we do. And the first one we talked about, I think a couple of months ago, we talked about imposter syndrome. And that's one of the ways. And the second one I was going to talk to you guys about tonight was breaking up with hard talk about your habits. And so it sort of goes into what we coach Bess on. So we'll see if we have some time tonight to talk about that. But in the meantime, I'm going to pull up Miss Tammy and see what she has to share with us tonight. Yes. Yes, Deb, trust and well-established habits. I needed this today. So welcome. Yes. Oh, I know. Yeah, Jean, I could listen to her accent all night too. So good. Some of my private clients are, I have one from Australia. I have one from the Netherlands. I know I could sit and listen to them all night too. All right, Tammy. Hey, Tammy.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much.
So good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Although I had a tooth pulled today and I just ate some comfort food for dinner because I can't chew on that side. So I had a little macaroni and cheese, which isn't normal for me, but okay, it works. It was fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, thank you for talking to me.
Of course.
I wanted to give you a little background, and I have a dilemma, and I'm not quite sure what to do. And it's something that keeps coming up for me since I joined No BS. I want to give you a little bit of my background. You said you had lost 107 pounds with Weight Watchers. Well, I worked for Weight Watchers. I was a leader before they were called coaches, and for quite a while. And I know the program really well. And before I became a leader, I lost 30 pounds and I kept it off for a really long time while I worked, because I always said when I just, you know, you had to be within your goal weight. You had to beat your goal weight. And I always thought if somebody was looking at my behind, all those people, I better keep it nice and small. So I was a real successful leader, but I left that job and I gained weight back because I gained weight back. Although I was always still a Weight Watchers member, my weight came back. And it found me. And so I would do Weight Watchers and lose it. And finally, about a year and a half ago, I thought I was bigger than I'd ever been. And I went back and waited. I thought, you know what? I know what to do. I know how this program works. I know how to do it. So I did it. And I again lost 30 pounds and got to my goal weight, although I changed it up a little bit because I'm a lot older, not a lot older, but I'm older. And I just thought I needed the wiggle room. So mm-hmm. I've been maintaining, and I maintained it with Weight Watchers all this time. And I have to admit, and I hope you don't kick me out of no BS, but I'm still tracking. Okay. I'm track my water. I points. I know points inside and out, and points are what makes me feel comfortable with food. And okay. I'm with that. And I'll eat a lot of different things, and it just keeps me aware of it keeps me track. I do plan for the day. I plan my food. I'm pretty good about eating it. I drink all the water. I track that too. It's just this ingrained habit in me. And when I joined No BS in June, I did the basics course because I listened to Corinne walking for a long time on her podcast, and I joined. And I did the basic course and started with everything and learned all the tenets of the program because I really do believe in it. I mean, it's really, it makes so much sense. And I just love No BS. But
So what's the dilemma?
Because I keep thinking, you know, like we're not supposed to track, you know, it says you're not supposed to track. You're not, it's a diet mentality.
Time out. Whoa. Who says you're not supposed to track?
Maybe I misheard something, but nobody said I didn't have
it's, to. No, what we've said is it's not required to track.
Oh, the required. I mean,
you don't need to track. If you like tracking points and it's working for you and you're happy with what you're eating and you're happy with tracking and you like that, who cares?
It's okay. Well, that makes me feel so much better because I've been feeling like this no BS woman fake. And I'm, you know, I still, Weight Watchers is a really good program. I worked for them a long time. I believe in it, but there was no support really for maintenance because they weren't making any money off of us. So they, you know, like, oh, we hope you come back and have to pay. You know, you get weighed in once a month, but I still am doing all those things and I feel comfortable doing it. It doesn't feel like work to me. It's just what I do. So I track and it keeps me in maintenance. I mean, I'm doing well. I feel like I'm a successful maintainer.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, track, don't track. We have members that count calories. We have members that do keto. We have members that track points. I'm just going to be honest, for the first 3 months that I was in No BS when I was a member in 2018, I counted points and calories.
Oh, wow.
Because I know, because I was so, listen, and it makes sense, right? Because this is why you gained your weight when you left Weight Watchers, because the whole time you were being a leader, there was an external motivator for you to keep your weight off.
Yes.
And as soon as that external motivator was taken away, you had no internal motivation to keep your weight off. Right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now you've gone back to what you know. Probably you can tell the points of something without even using whatever little tool they have to figure out points. Now, I'm going to guess. I was really good at that too. I was pretty good at looking at casserole going, yeah, that's probably about 8 points a cup. Right?
Yes.
But here's my question to you, Tammy. If you wanted to stop counting points one day, do you think you could and keep your weight off?
I don't know. That's the point I want to get to. I really do. I'm afraid. I just feel like Weight Watchers is going south as a company. And I just thinking I need to move on. I just need to move on. And that's, I probably could, but I don't know what it is about me that I'm so afraid to let go of this habit and this success that I've been doing.
But you do know what it is. Why are you so afraid? It's normal that you're afraid. I'm just going to tell you that right out of the gate. It is 100% normal. It makes absolute sense that you are afraid to let it go. Why are you afraid?
Because I just am afraid of regaining weight and I don't ever want to have to lose my weight again. I want to stay where I am because I feel good. I fit into my clothes. I have a lot of energy. I don't need any replacement body parts yet. You know, I want to stay as healthy as I can for as long as I can. And I'm real.
Okay. Your option, Tammy, is to just keep counting. Just keep counting points.
Okay.
If you want to. Now, Here's what I would offer to you. Okay. When and if you ever decide, I'm thinking about maybe considering that I might want to try to just eat by the doable hunger method, here's what I recommend. Before you do that, take the Trusting Your Body course.
Okay.
Okay. Go through it one lesson at a time. Do all the worksheets.
Okay.
Do a lesson. And then apply what you've learned while you're counting points. When you're taking this course, I want you to keep counting points. Okay. But just take each lesson, learn something from it, and then apply it. Learn something from it and apply it. The Trusting Your Body course is really designed for us to really understand our internal cues for hunger and our emotional needs. And it gives you very tactical tools to handle your emotions without food. It's really designed, because that's what I'm going to tell you. When we are counting points and calories and all of that kind of stuff, we're still using something external to tell us how much to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you ever want to stop doing that, you're going to have another mechanism.
Right.
That works to tell you when to eat and when to stop. And your body is the best one that mm-hmm. you can have. Okay. So, not saying that you have to do that, but when and if you ever decide, that's what I would do. I would really, really start paying attention to my body while I'm counting points and use that Trusting Your Body course to guide you.
Okay. All right, I will do that.
But you here have my permission to keep counting points. I don't care. Do whatever makes you happy. If you're happy, yes. I mean, that's the thing, y'all. I mean, okay, I want you to think about this too, Tammy. And I know, you know, but nobody else has their hand raised, so you're stuck in the hot seat. This is how it's going.
Okay.
But I want you to think about this, right? It makes total sense that we want to keep counting points and calories because of that external. It's like we feel like there's a safety net, a stopgap, a stopping point.
Absolutely.
Right? That makes 100%. But here's what I want to think too. It makes sense to me too that you came to know BS and you feel like you're doing it wrong. Because we come to know BS and the first thing we think is, like, we've done all these other diets, right? We sign up for know BS and we're like, okay, what are the rules? Tell me what the rules are. What do I have to do? Mm-hmm. I have to clean out my pantry. I got to get the planner and a new pen. Okay, what do I have to do next? Like, we approach no BS the same way we do any other diet. Okay? So it makes sense that you felt like I'm doing it wrong because we're not supposed to be doing that. Right? But the truth is this. We just give you suggestions. We give you things for what we think works for most people. You always get to decide what's best for you. This is your journey. So if Tammy is happy counting points and it makes her feel safe right now, and she's maintaining her weight and she loves the way she eats, she is happy, then do it. Keep doing it.
All right. Thank you. You've reassured me. You really have. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I will do
it. You're so very welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on and saying that. Now, listen, y'all. I don't even know what Corinne Crabtree would say about this. She might be like, Christy, do not tell them.
That's what I was afraid.
I don't know. No, I don't think she would. I think she would say, if you're happy, then we're happy. right? Like if you're happy, like, listen, y'all know what our motto is. We just redid it. Not our motto, but our mission statement is, okay, wait, I just wrote it down. Ashley, do you remember? Did you write it down from the team meeting? It was to teach every woman to lose her weight for good and feel amazing as she deserves. And if you feel amazing right now in the process that you have put in place for yourself, that is our goal for you.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So I will be a no BS woman for life. Believe me. I love this program. I have a wonderful accountability group. Maybe they're on. I don't even know. But this is like the best program. And I keep telling everybody, you got to do this. You got to do this. All my Weight Watcher people are like, this is better. This is like 100%, a bazillion percent better. So thank you. Thank you for
that. Yeah, you're so very welcome.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, Tammy, have a great night. Thanks.
Thank you too. Bye.
All right. Did that surprise y'all that I said that? Wait, how many of y'all, did y'all think that that was where I was going with that call? Were you waiting for me to be like, okay, this is how you stop counting. This is how you stop doing that. Okay. Carol, that helps so much, Christy. I'm working my way to free myself and trust myself. Yeah, listen, for some of us, we don't want to count points and calories anymore. That was me. I did not want to weigh and measure. That was actually the thing that attracted me to No BS from the very beginning, was like, you don't have to weigh anything. You don't have to count out chips. This is crazy talk, right? I was all in from that. But for her, for Tammy, she likes doing it. So, you know, do it. I had a client one time who counted calories. She probably still counts calories, and that's okay. It works for her. Okay, Audrey, coming on up. Y'all, I love chatting with y'all. I wish we had a call every month, but we're every other month, just in case you didn't know. We are maintenance every other month. Here comes Audrey. Hey, Audrey.
Hey, Christine, how are you?
Good. I love your glasses.
I was going to say, I upgraded glasses since last time and wore them somewhere yesterday, and I felt like trendy / clowny, but I'm growing into it.
I think clowny is in. Hello. Look at mine.
I know. I think clowny is in too. So
yeah.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for doing these calls. We love these. Mine is really around movement. I know it's not movement month. And good thing, because I'm not moving.
That's okay.
I'm not moving. Like, I got off a routine. And I want you to hear what's funny is how I coach myself. But the problem is I coach both sides, right? There's part of me that's like doing the Karen, just do it. Just do it. Just do it first. Mm-hmm. Can I just, and then the other side of me is like, listen to your body, do what your body needs. What do you need most in this moment? So I have like the angel and devil, but they're not good and bad, but just these two different coaches. And I don't know if I'm in a rut. I don't know if I just am out of the routine. It's been like 3 weeks. I've done a few things here and there. All I do is walk and stretch. Those are my two things that I love. And I'm just not doing them. And I can't figure out, am I self-sabotaging? Or am I just giving myself grace and saying I'm working more and I'm off my routine?
What is self-sabotage? Why would you be self-sabotaging? What are the consequences of not walking and stretching?
I can become stiff. I have muscle aches. I have muscle spasms. I know that both of those things help when I do those. And I used to log them in my two extra boxes on the habit tracker. I used to log walking on one calendar spot and then stretching on the other. And I decided to put them together and color code. And somehow when I started doing that, I stopped, almost not stopped, but I don't know, like slowed down. And there have been some routine things, like I'm looking at the calendar, like fall break and people out of town and people in town. So maybe I'm overthinking, but I know it's good for me to move. I sit in Zoom for work and I know it's good for me to walk and stretch. And I just,
how much of that conversation are you having on your days that you're supposed, that you have scheduled to walk and stretch? How much time are you spending saying, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get out and walk today. Like, it's going to help me so much. I've been sitting a lot. Stretching is going to feel so good. I'm really excited to take care of myself today.
Yeah, I think that's the missing self-talk, because I'm scheduling it, but then I just move it to the next day and move it to the next day. And I think I've lost the momentum. And I guess, thank you so much. Because I think that self-talk is definitely not there.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, there's all kinds of ways to accomplish our dew line, right? Like, if we put your dew line in the think, feel, do cycle, like if the action is walk and stretch on my scheduled days, I mean, there's all kinds of thoughts we can use to motivate a feeling to get you to do that. I think the most loving way is that positive self-talk that creates a feeling of willingness. But in lieu of that, sometimes, you know, like when Corinne will say, well, just do it. You don't need motivation. That is like willpower. So we want to use that like only when absolutely necessary, right? Because that is a finite amount. We don't have an abundance of willpower. If we did, then all of us would have stuck with counting calories or keto or whatever, because that sometimes that requires willpower too, right? So if you can, just work on having the conversation about how much you're looking forward to it, and you can sex it up as much as you are not sexing it up. If we can do a little bit more of that and create a feeling of willingness, I think that's the easiest route, right?
Yeah, I mean, think so.
You absolutely could muscle yourself into it. You could. That's going to get tiring after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the time management piece of it, I love that we're doing that this month, is, you know, I schedule it for days, but I don't time block it. And I time block my clients, and I time block other things in my life. And so maybe that's an extra piece too, along with the self-talk, is that it gets on the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and the other thing you said was once you started putting those two things together, you sort of noticed a little bit of fall off. I mean, I don't know what that could be about, but so separate them out again and see if that is effective for you too. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of a fan of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, so, I mean, you know, you can go back to that, but yeah, I mean, you know, you want to make sure that the process that you have in place is doable. Right. So like, for example, like, you know, your fall break, and you said like, so maybe, I don't know what you had going on, but maybe you're walking, your normal walking and stretching routine wasn't accessible to you during that time. Right. So you want to make sure whatever you have in place is doable for you. Maybe this is a season where it needs to change a little bit. Right. Maybe you need to walk less. Maybe you need to stretch less, you know, or maybe you need to do less days, because I don't know what's going on in your life right now. But so first, make sure it's doable. Yeah. And second, if you're not time blocking it, that tells me that it's one of those things on your list that's like, if I get to it.
Yes. There you go. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So here's what I would do. Audrey, I would do at least one or two journal entries, maybe for like a solid week. I would journal every single day about what you love about your walks, what you're looking forward to, why stretching is so good for you, and how good you're going to feel afterward. I would sex that shit up as much as I could. I would do it every day in the morning for at least 5 minutes. I would write about how I love that I'm taking care of my body and how good I'm going to feel and all of the things, right? And see if that conversation doesn't get it back on your priority list.
That's helpful. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you got this. You got this. All right. Well, are you in Facebook?
Yes.
So 100% you're going to post in the maintenance group tomorrow and let me know if you walked, correct? Look, because I'm writing your name down, Audrey Russell, right now. I would love for you to post tomorrow and tell me how you did it. Like, tell me what you did that worked, that got you out there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. All right. Happy walking. Hey, you know what else? Here's a tip. So I walk my dogs every morning, and okay, y'all are going to laugh at me because most of y'all probably have known about this, but audiobooks are the best. They are the best. And here's what I do. I specifically reserve them for my outside walking of my dogs. It's the only time I get to listen to it. And I love like mysteries. I'm listening to one right now called The Block Party. It's a mystery. I don't even know where it's going yet. I haven't figured out why it's mysterious yet, but I think it's a mystery. And it gets me out there because I'm like, oh, I can put this in my ears. And I just go into a whole nother world. And before I know it, I've been walking for like 30 or 40 minutes. My poor dogs are like, Jesus, this is a marathon. Can we go home now? And I'm like, no, hold on, one more chapter. So there's some tips to sex it up for you, right? Like make it inviting for yourself. Anyway, try it or don't try it, but that's my trick.
I love it. Thank you.
Okay, Audrey, I can't wait to check in with you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. See ya.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay, let's see. Habit stacking. Yes, Tammy, you're so welcome and you feel so much better. I'm so glad. Okay, I'm just scrolling back up in the chat. Oh, let me see. I forgot. Is there any questions in the Q&A? Nope, nobody's got any questions. All right, guys, we have 13 minutes and nobody has their hand raised. So somebody, I mean, I guess everybody else that's on this call is doing amazing. They have no concerns. They just are so happy and they're in maintenance and loving it. Anna says, I never want to count calories or points. That is why I chose No BS. I love listening to my body and letting it tell me what I need. Me too. Me too, Anna. That's me. Let's see. No BS for life. That says Jean. Anna said, I didn't think you would support that as points do not always support doable hunger. That's true. That's true. But here's the thing. I want you to think about, like, sometimes I always don't follow doable hunger. But that's my choice. Like sometimes I get a hunger signal and I purposely choose to not follow it because whatever reason. I mean, maybe I want to put it off because I really want to be hungry for dinner, or maybe I can't because I'm out shopping and I don't have access to food. But so, you know, understanding your hunger cues and honoring your hunger cues are two totally different things. And we all make choices about when and where to do that. And at the end of the day, if you are happy and you have the energy to live your life the way you want and you're eating the foods that you love, you know, then that's your choice, right? We all decide how to work it. I love, like, I don't know if you guys are Pelotoners, but I'm a Pelotoner, and Dennis Morton is one of my favorite instructors. And I went to New York with my good friend Jody Sefchik, who might be listening to this call. She's one of my accountability partners. And we went and we did a couple of Peloton classes, and I did a yoga class with Dennis Morton. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I am terrible at yoga, but it was the only class I could get into. Anyway, he says in his classes, I make suggestions, you make decisions. And that's how we roll at No BS. I mean, we've curated what we think are the most, you know, useful, helpful tools to help us lose weight. But at the end of the day, this is y'all's journey. You get to make No BS work for you however it best fits your life. All right. Thank God Annette raised her hand so I can quit blabbing on about Dennis Morton. He's really cute. I can't say it too loud. My husband's in the kitchen unloading the dishwasher. Okay. Annette, y'all don't tell him I said that. Beth says she loves Peloton. Me too. Audiobook, Cheryl Kelly. Yes. Oh, I don't know what Audrey's talking about with Carol, but something good. She wants to explore what is fun to her. Okay, I'm gonna have to go back and read the chat about that because that sounds like some good stuff. All right, here comes Annette from Iowa. Hi, Annette.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
What are we coaching about today?
Well, I've been going back and forth. I've been in maintenance only since July 31st. So it has only been a couple months. But I stay almost to the pound every month. Now I did gain a few when I went to see my mom, but then within 2 days I was back down to the same pound that I'm always at.
Okay.
But now I've decided maybe I want to lose another 6 pounds.
Okay. How come?
And just to give myself a little more room to.
Okay. So you just want to drop lower in a maintenance range. You want to come up with a wider range instead of like a narrow range.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What's your strategies to do that?
Well, go back to, I'm eating a little more than I did when I was losing weight. And so I could just go back and do what I was doing when I was losing weight. Like instead of eating a whole bagel thin for breakfast, I only ate half. So, I mean, I could go back and do those things. I would probably start losing weight again. But it seemed like when I lose weight, I'm happier.
Because well, yeah.
Now that I'm maintaining weight, I'm not as happy as I was when I was losing weight.
Yeah. Tell me why that is. That makes total sense to me. 100%. And I bet everybody on this call says, yep, I can understand that. Why is that true? Tell me why that is. You're getting thumbs up, by the way. People agree.
It just seems like I should be happy now that I'm here and that I'm maintaining. And I did what I said I was going to do. And I did it the right way.
Yeah. Y'all. Seriously, thumbs up if you thought once you got to maintenance, you were going to be so freaking happy. Yeah, of course. And guess what happens when we're losing weight? What makes us happy every week? Well, maybe not every week, but a lot of weeks. What makes us happy?
That the scale goes down.
Hell yeah. That's fun. That's exciting. Ooh, that's like a hit of dopamine. That's amazing. It's like a little reward. And then we get to maintenance and the scale stops moving and it's the same freaking number every week. And you're like, well, now what? Right?
Yeah.
So like, now's the time. Annette, what makes you happy in your life? If you didn't have weight loss to make you happy, what else is in your life that you're happy about?
Well, I have two grandsons that I watch probably... I swear 80% of their life, but I'm sure it's
well, okay, don't. Wait. I mean, is it your daughter or your son whose kids they are?
My daughter.
Okay. Is she on this call?
Yeah.
Okay. So that didn't sound, I mean, the way you said 80% didn't sound like maybe you were always happy about that, but this is the time. This is your opportunity. Okay. Do you know the think, feel, do cycle? We don't talk a lot about it in No BS. Back in the day, y'all old schoolers know we used to talk about it a lot, right? Okay. Think, feel, do. Happy goes in which line?
Feel.
Yes. It's a feeling that's generated by
your thoughts.
Yes. So if Annette wants to feel happy and excited, she has to think things that make her feel happy and excited on purpose. Because here's the deal. Your habit brain is not going to offer them automatically. It's not. I would like to meet the person that wakes up and just has the best happy feelings. I mean, maybe it happens sometimes. But most of the time, when we wake up, our habit brain is automatically running the show. And it's going to give you the laundry list of all the crappy things you have to do today and all the shit you didn't do yesterday and blah, 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 blah. Right? That's just how it works. So if we want to feel happy, we have to, on purpose, think happy thoughts. Think about what is exciting in their life. Here's what I do. In my planner, it has a little box and there's five lines. And the question says, five things I'm excited about. I answer that question every day because the same reason. Once you get to maintenance, there's no race, there's no adrenaline, there's no, ooh, right? So now you got to find it in your life.
See, and I retired a year ago. So, mm-hmm. You know, now, and believe me, excited about that. I waited 65 freaking years for that. And, you know,
congratulations.
As it got closer, I got more excited. Then it comes. And then.
Yeah. So you had something to look forward to, right? You were having something to look forward to. And now you want something to look forward to, right?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and there for a while, you know, you look forward to having the grandchildren. And of course, now they're here. Mm-hmm. And they're growing up and they're getting older. And, you know, eventually they're not even going to want to see grandma. They live right next door, so they're going to see me whether they want to or not. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is an invitation for you, Annette. This is amazing that this is happening to you right now. This is so great that this is happening to you. Because this is an invitation for you to explore how to either see the happy and exciting things that exist in your life that maybe you're overlooking and your brain is just not seeing and acknowledging. Okay. And or create some excitement in your life. Allow yourself, like, what would I do if I could do anything? What would I do? What would I do with my life? What are some things that you've been thinking about doing?
I don't think about doing much anymore. I wanted to retire and just let the world go on without me. It would be just great. This world relied on me for years, and I just didn't want people to do that anymore.
Okay. And it sounds like you've been doing that for like a year.
Yeah. And I live in a very, very small town. And there's not a lot of opportunities around here to like do things. So it's not like you can go uptown and even shop, because that's not going to happen. I mean, the whole county doesn't have a stoplight in it. And if you do go uptown,
I graduated from a town like that.
You know, when you do go uptown, everybody knows where you're going. So you don't have to use, you know, your turn signals or anything, but they're like, oh, there's Nat.
Yeah.
I know where she's going, you know, that type of thing. So,
yeah. Well, this is what I hear you say, Annette. I hear you say, I don't have anything to look forward to.
Yeah. Now you
create something. Create something if you want it, or recognize the things that already exist in your life that your brain is just taking for granted, because that's what we all do. And this has to happen on purpose and on paper. Listen, I know we haven't, I probably am a broken record with it, y'all. But we have to be writing our thoughts down and thinking on purpose on paper. So if you are not signed up for the Think It, Ink It, Shrink It camp, I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. Right? Good. Good. I'm so glad. Because this is where you need to.
I just started journaling a little. It's one of those hard things for me to do. It's to sit down and write.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thoughts, feelings. Mm-hmm.
Well, here's something. You don't always have to write the negative, right? Like, a lot of us think that, you know, the journal is where we're supposed to like dump all our crap. And it's a great place for that. But it also can be on purpose journaling, right? Like, I would highly, highly encourage you to journal tomorrow about things that make you happy, that are currently happening in your life. Just start with that.
No,
show your brain this. Yeah.
I did read John Acuff's new book, All It Takes Is a Goal. And the first chapter is to write a best moments list.
Mm-hmm.
And you just write down the best moments in your life. And so I did that. And I wrote down, you know, and it can be people and moments and feelings and those type of things. And it is surprising after you do that, it's like, boy, you really have had a great life, you know?
Yeah, but it's not over, Annette. You're talking like it's over. It's not over. Look at you with your sassy haircut and your cute sweatshirt. You got many more years and things to do that's fucking fun. Come on, Annette. I'm not letting you sign off. You got things to do, right? Listen, Carol says, she says retirement at first was a disappointment. She said, I lost myself, but then she read this book, write this down, How to Retire and Not Die.
Oh, well,
yeah, still, right.
My mother is still alive and she's 93. So she's still going.
See?
My dad.
Okay. So yes,
my dad died at 93.
You have a lot of life.
Yeah.
You have a lot of life left. Okay. So I love that you're looking back and learning to appreciate the happy moments of your life via John Acuff's book. That's amazing. But I want you to look at your future. I want you to find things that are coming to be happy about. I want you to find the things that make you happy right now that you're probably overlooking, the things that bring you joy every day. You're going to have to find them on purpose. Our habit brains do not look for them. on purpose. We have to think about it on purpose. Our habit brains are just designed to find the problems and all the negative. That's what they do. That's their job. If we want to find the joy, you have to purposely go out and look for it. We used to, in No BS a long time ago, we used to do this thing called the powerful question of the day. And we used to write like, give me a powerful question. It used to be like, today, how can I find joy? It's like, give your brain an assignment. This is what you need to do. So I love that you're starting your journaling. I want you to journal tomorrow. Here's what makes me happy today. Here's what's making me happy today. Just start there. I don't even want you to worry about dreaming about exciting things that you could be doing. Let's just find the things that are bringing you joy right now that you're probably overlooking. Yeah, Carol has a great suggestion too. She's also the one that suggested the other book. Carol and Annette, y'all need to hook up. Find each other on Facebook. She says, make lists of what you like to do and what you're passionate about, and that will create a path for you. Yeah, that's a good idea too. I recommend that, doing that, like after you focus on what you already have, right? Where's the joy in your life right now that you're overlooking? Yeah, I write things like cooler weather, snuggling with my dogs, like little things that I just take for granted. And when I write them down and I see it, I'm like, oh yeah, I really do like that. That's so great.
Yeah. And I mean, I like to walk and exercise and stuff. I'm diabetic. So when I do that, then my blood sugar just drops out. And so then I get caught up in all of that. You know, it's like, well, now I can't do that because I've got this health issue, and then I can't do that because I have asthma.
And that's what your habit brain is supposed to do. It's supposed to be poo-poo and negative everything, right? Yeah. And it's your job to come in and say, this is kind of like our first Bess, when we were first coaching her, and she was like, my habit brain just says these negative things. And I'm like, yeah, but you don't have to believe it. Like, you don't have to believe that that's true, right? You don't have to believe any of that. It's okay that you're having those thoughts, but you don't have to believe it. Yeah. Oh, Audrey says, and your cute red nails.
Oh.
She likes your red nails. Yeah.
They're, yeah.
Yeah. So cute. They make you happy, I bet, too. I like to have my nails done, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's your assignment, Miss Annette. You want to feel happy? You need to create it with your thoughts. So find the things that make you happy right now in your life. And then once you get good at that, once you get good at purposely pointing your brain in the direction of what makes you happy, then you can go on to, and how can I create more of that? Because once we get glommed on to the feeling of happiness, our brain will start to open up and be like, ooh, maybe I want to do this. Maybe I want to travel. Maybe I want to have a No BS meetup. I know there's No BS women in Iowa. Right? Or something like that. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on and sharing, and congratulations on being in maintenance, and congratulations on your retirement and your amazing life.
Okay. Thank you, Christy.
All right. Take care. You're welcome, my love. See ya. Bye. Okay. Lori, you're so very welcome. I'm so glad you enjoyed the call tonight. Ashley, thank you for going 5 minutes over. And you guys, our next call, wait, what's this month? October, November, December. Oh, our next call is not until December. It'll be before the holidays. So I am in the maintenance Facebook group a lot more now. So if you guys have questions and you want to ask me, just tag me. I am Christy Davis. Just tag me in the maintenance group or in the main group. I will get a notification. If you have questions, if you want to help, if you want me to help you celebrate anything, I am happy to do that. So thank y'all for being here tonight. I just love y'all so much. I love my maintenance people. Okay. We'll see you in December, y'all. Take care.